Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hi, I'm Kelly Corrigan. You've probably never heard of me. Maybe you did. I wrote some New York Times bestsellers. I gave a TED Talk. But the reason I'm in your ear now is to invite you to listen to Kelly Corrigan Wonders. We talk to everyone from Bono to Amy Schumer, Spike Lee to Rainn Wilson, Krista Tippett and Bryan Stevenson about purpose, creativity, well-being, and what makes life worth living. Follow and listen to Kelly Corrigan Wonders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Philadelphia's Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, WPHT HD, WOGL HD3. Philadelphia, always live on the free Odyssey app. It's Dom time. Now, Dom Giordano.
All right, it is Dom time. Welcome in, everyone. 855-839-1210. You get on board. Our buddy Jeff Van Drew just sent out a release. Hopefully he'll be on tomorrow. He will now be the chairman of the Oversight Committee in the House Judiciary Committee. I think Jordan is the chairman of the Judiciary Committee. It's a subcommittee, but that's the committee with oversight over, other than being chairman of the Judiciary Committee, that's the position that you want if you're in judiciary. That's a main player. We'll break that down with him. He is advancing tremendously, and that is great news. Our buddy Scott Presler. And look, give it a rest a little bit. Some people on my Twitter saying, oh, I don't know about that. He shows up at the farm show, which is a great place, and I've never been to the farm show, not for me, seeing the cow made out of butter and all that stuff. Oh, my God. Sorry, rural Domville. not someplace I'd go. But he goes there. You know the reason why, voters registration. And he must have known that Fetterman was going to be there. So Scott Presler had quite a conversation with Fetterman, saying, if you ever want to become a Republican, we'd love to have you. Here's what I would do, et cetera, et cetera. And he's standing there, and I don't know who filmed it. I think it was a Presler guy, because Presler looked every bit as tall as Fetterman to me. Now, he did have the boots on. Fetterman had on whatever he calls those shoes. Fetterman, though, is a legit 6'8", I'd say. Maybe even a little bit more. And Scott is about 6'5". So he'll be here at 2 o'clock. We're waiting to get the registration numbers, Pennsylvania, New Jersey. What's next? And his conversation with Senator Fetterman. Now, Fetterman is still a liberal guy, contrarian, most stuff and all that, but on several things, like the upcoming confirmation hearings, I think he's going to vote for some of these Republicans. I'm not sure which ones. It'll be hard. I could see him voting for an RFK Jr. potentially. Pete Hegseth, by reading the room, appears to have enough Republican votes to get to the magic number, to get to the majority. That's the story over the weekend. Cash Patel seems to be a little bit of an uphill battle, and Tulsi Gabbard maybe a little bit more. You know, one of those maybe they'll vote against to show they voted against something. But Patel is the key guy to get in there with the FBI. We've talked about that routinely. Now, on Friday's show, we saw this in the middle of the show. And I was talking to Dawn a little bit about it. I had a little bit of time over the weekend to run it down, in that we had this grandstanding head of the Surgeon General come out with this report saying that he wants people, here's a headline in the Wall Street Journal rebutting him today by Alicia Finley. As with his other work, the Surgeon General's report is light on facts, heavy on expanding government. He wants to put warning labels on beer, spirits, and wine. She writes, no, moderate drinking won't give you cancer. And we go through this, a number of academic studies that refute what he said about any alcohol use, 200 pages of findings run counter. She cites the National Academy of Sciences, Engineering, and Medicine, released a congressionally mandated review of the recent evidence of health effects of moderate drinking of up to one drink a day for women and two for men. Hey, finally, an advantage there. Wait a minute. Women only get one drink, men get two to be a moderate drinker. And Dr. Murthy's claims that alcohol use is a leading preventable cause of cancer, contributing to nearly 100,000 cancer cases and 20,000 cancer deaths each year. This estimate is based on models of associations from cherry-picked observational studies, but even the report partially attributed only 17% of those estimated deaths to moderate drinking. And the thing that jumped out at me, and Henry was on with me, I think it was Friday, this guy actually saying 17% of breast cancer due to moderate drinking. Alcohol is the cause. So, in order, they are tobacco, obesity, and then the third thing was alcohol usage, even if moderate. Now, you know, it's such a painful thing. Cancer of any sort, but breast cancer, major focus, all kinds of fundraising, rallies for it, etc. And this guy is triggering something along the lines of, oh man, you know, I can't have a glass of wine now. Because he's talking about moderate drinking or even beer. And I try to liken it, when the Surgeon General came out with the warning on cigarette smoking, it was appropriate, this government regulation, to put that on cigarettes at that time. I mean, now, do people not know that? Is it not all over the place that this is a causal element? It's something to be aware of. You're taking a risk, maybe a significant risk, if you're smoking of any sort. I'd say, yeah, it's legit. I don't see the warning labels because people would go nuts, the body positivity crowd, about obesity on anything, like we put them on ding-dongs or, you know, think of something fattening. I don't think they're on there in that manner. So now suddenly, on wine, spirits, and even beer, we're going to put warning labels, even if you're a moderate drinker, something of that nature. This guy is just...
Well, let me ask you this.
Yes.
Do you think there should be warning labels on marijuana products in New Jersey?
I have to see more. I don't know what they say. Are there any on them?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, there's tons. And same with cigarettes and all. Like,
well, yeah, cigarettes. Yeah, definitely. We know, and it's of such a... It's unrefutable, I mean, on cigarettes. So with marijuana, I'd have to see the warning labels to see how far they go, how draconian they are. And what do they say? Cancer-causing?
It can cause psychosis, I think some of them say. I think there are carcinogen warnings as well. I don't know for sure.
I'd have to see exactly what they say. Probably not. You know, the psychosis thing to me is... Well, particularly with legal marijuana, I mean, I'm under the impression it's not where street marijuana has gone to be more potent.
Well, to your point, I mean, I just pulled out my... So my Q-Pods are the little vape pods that I have.
Right.
Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. There's no mention about carcinogens or anything on here.
Okay. Yeah, well, with nicotine, I think it's so extreme that I'd be in favor of it. This is tangential, if at all, really, here. Do I think, you know, am I biased? Because I think a glass of red wine a day might even be helpful, if not a day, four or five times a week. Yeah, I still do. I think there's evidence of that. I don't know, or of any wine. I don't know. You don't, Dan. You're suspect of that, I think, right?
If there's actual, you know, if there's truth to this claim that 17% of breast cancer is caused by this, then... I mean, those numbers are really frightening, to be quite honest.
Well, and this is the...
If we're putting on cigarettes because of the high you know, chance of this causing cancer,
right,
then I do think it's appropriate to put it on alcohol as well.
Well, all right, National Academies of Sciences, Engineering, and Medicine, I just read, released a congressionally mandated review of this, more than 200 pages of findings. They contradict Dr. Murphy's only scant 22-page report, although they didn't get a lot of attention in the media. He did. In other words, it's the National Academy of Sciences, Engineering, and Medicine saying, no, there's no connection that rises to any level here. I mean, that's pretty potent to me.
I wonder if it's one of those things where, like, you know, the doctor asks you, like, do you drink? Do you smoke?
Right.
And, like, you know, how good's your health? All those background questions. And I wonder, like, if someone who gets cancer answers, you know, pretty much no to all those questions except drinking, and they say, like, oh, well, you have cancer. The only thing you did is drinking. It must be attributed to the drinking.
Well, maybe. Yeah.
I wonder how deep this study goes, or if it's just like any sort of statistic where you can just move the numbers around and make it say what you want it to say.
Yeah, I think this guy is, again, the Wall Street Journal piece really goes into some of the overregulation he wants. There's no doubt about cigarettes. Probably cigars, too, to a lesser degree. You don't want to do warning labels. So when they did it with cigarettes, it was necessary. Tobacco industry was really pushing back hard, saying, nah, come on, you live to be 90. Don't worry about it.
I think we need to see some of those, like, anti-smoking PSAs, you know, make a return to the airwaves. I haven't seen those on TV in a while.
And you think people... I don't see that many people smoking, though. You do?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit more trendy. Obviously, I see more vaping than I do smoking.
Yeah, I get it, because there's a sense that... And you probably are lessening any kind of ill effects.
I don't know. I think
that's legit, but how much? You want to roll the day, and that's another story. But it is lessening it. Yeah. Okay, you can get in at 855-839-1210.
You ever see the warning labels on Canadian cigarettes and all?
No.
It's the whole thing a warning label?
Well, no, it's like an actual picture of, like, lungs that have been rotted out by cigarettes, or they have, you know, pictures of tracheomas and such, and essentially a heightened warning, even farther than what America does.
Yeah, I think we have saturated now letting people know. I don't want to overkill them into the ground if they're a cigarette smoker. But extending that, here's the thing. We did the same thing here in Philadelphia with Big Sugar, right? Big Soda. We went after soda. Why didn't we go after donuts, for example? I don't know the sugar. I'm trying to think of the other food contents or beverages that have a lot of sugar. We went after them because we could. They were a convenient target. We were going to take money from them, and no one was going to stop us. But we won't go after other foods that might cause just as bad on the sugar front and maybe heart disease, etc. Why? Well, we're afraid that a lot of people in Philadelphia are going to revolt. But look at what happened in Philadelphia. It proves that it can be done. Did Philadelphia revolt? Nope. They all got together. They conspired with the building trade unions and all these others who got paid off to do a bunch of stuff. And they essentially put this onerous tax on soda. They know better. And people are not drinking as much soda now. Should they do the same thing with alcohol? Would they do that? I don't think so. I always think of an Eagles fan. How will they react to something like this as a prime demographic of people? All right, here are the phone lines. 855-839-1210. Hit us with an epiphany, some moment where something changed, you know, something struck you a little bit differently. Hit us with that. Coming up, Elon Musk goes after New Jersey testing on Twitter, effectively, I think. I hope he tweets a lot more about it. I'll tell you what that is, all straight ahead on Talk Radio 1210. All right, Don Giordano Show, welcome in. Good Monday. Been waiting to get to this. Dan just found former Representative Kinzinger still calling it a coup. I'm talking about today's the day, January 6th, of course, 4 years ago. We know the whole deal. It was a riot. There are some people there, I don't care what you say, who deserve a lot of jail time. But by and large, there are an unbelievable number of arguments to be made about why Trump should carefully either commute and or pardon on the first day that he's in office any number of people. prosecutors had a bunch of potential charges to choose from. And in many instances, a number of prosecutors went for the most extreme they could, trying to get people to admit to something called Section 1512, which figures in a quarter of the January 6 cases, even though the Supreme Court said there's no attempt to conceal information here. You can't have a coup. You can't have an insurrection. You can't have any of that. So why did these people then plead to that? Because they were told if they didn't and take a lesser sentence, they'd get 20 years. That's why. So again, I think it's smart, and maybe some people are going to disagree. They think Trump, do you think President Trump should just commute and or pardon all these people involved? There are hundreds, if not approaching 1,000. I'd say no. But if he has his people going through carefully, case by case, any number of people have been overcharged, and the conditions in which they've been placed in and the manner that this has gone on has been more persecution than prosecution. The prosecutorial power here has led to unjust results that can be remedied by Trump's power. Kinzinger doesn't see it that way. Here's what he said today.
Congressman Kinzinger, you were in the House. You actually tweeted at 4:30 p.m. 4 years ago on this day. You tweeted, "This is a coup attempt." Do you think that history will remember this the way it actually happened?
Yeah, I do. I do. Look, we're in this emotion. You know, Donald Trump got defeated. He convinced. I mean, look, he convinced his base that that election was stolen from him, and that for 4 years built this like intense anger where they truly believed this deep state, you know, garbage was happening. He's going to be president now for 4 years. He's going to own everything that happens in the economy, everything that happens in the world. And that like excitement that like we've been robbed will wear off. And history has this amazing ability to accurately reflect the happenings of that day. And so while maybe today it's kind of surreal that we're here 4 years later after that and putting Donald Trump back in the presidency, history will not be kind to him. And I'm glad you brought up my tweet because I actually had this ready to go. Speaker Johnson tweeted this on January 6, 2021. I unambiguously condemn in the strongest possible terms any and all forms of violent protest. Any individual who committed violence today should be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. It goes on for a whole nother thing. And now that's going to be a question when Donald Trump gets into office and decides, does he want to prosecute the people that looked into what happened on January 6th and embarrassed him? And does he want to pardon the people that actually did what Speaker Johnson just 4 years ago said they should be prosecuted?
Abby. All right, endlessly with this guy. And again, the thing out of this, I have a whole list here. I don't know if I'd call every one of them a lie. I'm going to give you the 10 of them. Some I would characterize as overstated. Some of them are outright lies, trying to form an historical picture of this that is a lie. Some of them, all right, it's the other side, they're puffing it up. For example, nobody's charged with insurrection here. How are you hearing having an insurrection? Kinzinger there also saying this made-up deep state. Really? Now, if you talk about the deep state in some terms that are wild, then I'm not signing off. If you talk about people, the status quo in Washington, kind of a uniparty, people like Mitch McConnell and others, and people that are in various levels of government, maybe not the cabinet officer, but below, slow walking, trying to block Trump, trying to sabotage. Absolutely, they're still there, some of them. And absolutely, they did it before. And he was more unaware, coming in 2016, about how effective they could be with this. Now we're looking at how do you root them out of there? So the Federalists today have a bunch of these. They have 10. They say all lies. Some of them I might not say a lie as much as, again, not accurate, overpuffed. But January 6th was an insurrection, flat out off the mark. Not an insurrection. Doesn't have the elements that you would need for an insurrection. Democracy almost died. Not true. Trump was enthusiastic about the violence. Where's the evidence of that? Trump tried to hijack the limo to the riot at the Capitol himself. That seems to be way off the mark versus testimony going back and forth. Trump dismissed the need for the National Guard. Well, that would be Nancy Pelosi. We've been through this. We've had on Stephen's son, who was in charge, one of the people of the Capitol Police inside the Congress. And he lays much of this more at the feet of Nancy Pelosi. Demonstrations were mostly violent. Well, they weren't. Now, that doesn't mean the people that attack police, that doesn't mean some of the people that were engaged in this. We could quibble over the numbers. I'd have to see the exact action, point by point. Any number of them, though, I'm putting in jail for a good long time. The numbers? Well, we'll see when these cases come up. We'll see what Trump does. That's why I don't think Trump should be like Joe Biden and just say, I'm commuting everybody. You know, I can't figure it out. No, no, you got to do better on that. And I don't think he'll do that. I don't think he does stuff like that. But I think on day one, you are going to see a number of sentences commuted and or people pardoned because of how excessive this has been. A Capitol Police officer was killed in riot. Untrue. How many times have we been down this path? It was bad enough. They were attacked. They weren't killed in this situation. Ashley Babbitt is the one who was killed inside the Capitol. This guy Loudermilk, the congressman who did the most recent report on all this, gave rioters a reconnaissance tour. Not true. The FBI has cleared this whole thing. And the January 6th committee was legitimate. It was not. There was nobody on there that was going to offer the other side, raise questions, push back, like, say, a Jim Jordan. Nancy Pelosi would not do that. So who did she put on there? Well, to have Republicans on there, she put Liz Cheney and Kinzinger, who might be as hostile or more hostile to Trump than anybody you could imagine. So on this day, the fourth anniversary, it brings us to January 20th. And as I said, where I stand, and we can go through it case by case once we see what he does, there are people who deserve punishment. And then there are people who have already been punished enough and or excessively, they should be commuted and in some cases completely pardoned. Again, justice that's done on a case-by-case basis. Well, over at CNN, they still haven't gotten the message. Here's Jake Tapper today. And Tapper going after Ted Cruz.
One sec on that, Dom.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
Here, all right.
At images from the floor of the House of Representatives, members of the House and Senate are gathering in what is there, and there is the Speaker Mike Johnson and Vice President Kamala Harris. It's obviously a bipartisan or even nonpartisan event where the leaders of this country come together to count the electoral votes. There's Ted Cruz, a senator from Texas, who was one of the main individuals who helped cause what happened 4 years ago by putting forward the falsehood that the vice president could somehow do something to stop the electoral count.
Well, he could. I mean, that's a decision. And then you'd have to see whether this met the standards of legality, etc. Ted Cruz, though. My goodness. Dan, nothing has happened there, right? They're just kind of milling around and gathering. They haven't done the certification yet.
Looking into it, yeah.
Yeah, because I'm looking to see, because this has happened in the past, where some Democrats vote against certification. We've had this before.
It's at a 200-186. No, what's going on here?
All right.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll let you know in 1 second.
Okay, yeah. We'll let you know once we have the full certification vote and where it goes. All right, phone lines are 855-839-1210. That's how you get in. AT&T and Verizon Wireless, all that you have to do is just push #1210. Bottom line is that there are any number of things out there. The biggest one to me, the insurrection charge, still trying to go that Trump is ineligible because of insurrection, when no one's charged with insurrection here. And various Supreme Court rulings have taken away that option anyhow, even if they thought to do that. Have some people been overcharged? Were they boxed in order to put more of a penalty on them because Democrats in Washington weren't? Yes, that's the case. Are some of them deserve real jail time? Yes. show me the case. We'd have to go into great detail. That's what I hope Trump is doing. And I hope you see a lot of people sentenced, commuted, and or pardoned on Inauguration Day, but not the Biden approach to this whole thing. All right, phone lines are 855-839-1210. Nancy Mace.
The one observation I've had from watching this is Kamala is not thrilled to be handing the paper to who comes up next and has to announce the...
Yeah, well, on that... If it were me and I had lost, I'd have a lot of trouble doing it.
It's got to be
if I were Saquon Barkley, I would be barking today. I'm not forgetting about that one. And what happened? I was still tweeting because I had heard he might slip in there for a few carries on Sunday.
It wouldn't have been a bad strategy, you know?
Yeah.
Surprise him.
Yeah, surprise him. Wasn't even dressed. None of that stuff. We'll see. 855-839-1210. And you weren't here, but Ray Dininger was on the side of no, don't play him. That may lead to tomorrow's side question, which is someone who broke your heart. Fredo.
Oh.
You broke my heart. You disappoint me. Yeah, we might do that tomorrow. Christy was another name that... when I said it, but when Ray did it, I'm come on. Oh, Ray, come on. And he was adamant about it. His argument, biggest argument was, he was saying, well, Eric Dickerson is not someone who we see as that great. There's nothing, no mantle that goes with this, so Saquon Barkley wouldn't be either. That was an interesting card from Ray. I was kind of surprised.
He did turn me on that point.
Oh.
Because I only, like I said on Friday, like I only know Eric Dickerson because he has the rushing record.
Right.
No one ever talks about him like they talk about a Barry Sanders or Walter Payton or Jim Brown, anyone like that.
Well, that's because football records, though, I think are buried in the team concept. They're hard to pull out. You know, I saw that Aaron Rodgers threw, was it 501, 502, whatever
503.
Now. Is it 503? Okay. Touchdowns. And I knew he was on the cusp of it, but putting 500 in exact certitude, like I would know the home run thing, maybe the top 10. Uh-oh, breaking news here.
Yeah, let's hear the moment that Texas announced their electoral votes, which sent Trump over the 270 number, now having 289, but this is the moment that Trump got those votes officialized. Take a listen.
Madam President, the certificate of the electoral vote of the state of Texas seems to be regular in form and authentic. And it appears therefrom that Donald J. Trump of the state of Florida received 40 votes for president, and J.D. Vance of the state of Ohio received 40 votes for vice president.
Madam President, the certificate of the electoral vote of the state.
And they continue from there, but that was the deciding vote there, Doug.
All right, so over the top, on now to the countdown. What damage can Biden do between now and inaugural day? What can he get in the face with more? Okay, here's how you get in. Nancy Mace, I was just saying a moment ago. Interesting bill. Simple. Deport illegal aliens who are involved in sex crimes. Why did about 180 Democrats vote against it? And particularly, who voted against it in our area? I'll tell you who those are. Hit us on the side question. Give us an epiphany. Give us something that changed your mind. Like on the road, Paul on the road to Damascus, right? Gets hit with lightning. Yes.
Saul Paul.
It is Paul.
It was
right?
Saul, and then he had the epiphany and he went to Paul.
What do you mean, changing his name to Paul?
Yeah.
Oh,
he was Saul. Yeah. He was a bad guy, and then he got struck down, right? He's blinded.
I did not know you knew this much about that.
I went to Catholic school.
No, I don't think so. I don't think that's accurate.
Yeah, Saul went to Paul.
All right, I'm going to Google that one, Henry. If you're right,
God changed Saul's name to Paul.
Yeah.
All right. 855-839-1210.
That's 12
sure
years of Catholic school right there.
All right, AT&T, well, that is an epiphany. AT&T and Verizon Wireless, all you have to do is just push pound.
But it's not the same Paul.
Oh, okay.
So there's two Pauls. There's a Paul the Apostle, and then Saul the Persecutor became Paul the Persecutor, right?
But he stopped persecuting.
I'm thinking of Paul the Apostle. I'm not sure why.
Yeah, he became,
I may have conflated him.
Oh, wait, no, maybe I'm wrong. Yeah, maybe there's only one apostle.
He became an apostle after, like, Jesus' death. Am I wrong?
Well, there's two Pauls then?
No, there's one. I think I was wrong in saying that.
Okay.
I apologize. Yeah.
All right. Okay. Hey, are you looking to achieve your health goals and start your new year right? Now's the time to optimize and support your heart health, cholesterol, digestive health, energy levels, and a lot more with Rescue Natural Supplements with their New Year's savings. Rescue is celebrating you. Save 35% on single bottles of Rescue supplements. Use the code HEALTH35. Try the popular Rescue 1250 Omega-3 for heart health, Rescue Probiotic for better digestion, or Rescue Orucine for more energy. Whatever your health goals, Rescue has you covered. To place an order, call 800-26-ALIVE, 800-262-5483. Speak to a Rescue product consultant or shop online at res-q.com, res-q.com. Start your journey to better health today. Use that code HEALTH35. Again, save 35% on all single supplements. Use the code HEALTH35. Don't wait. Make this year your best. Do it with Rescue. Show, welcome in, 855-839-1210. You get on board. Hit us with an epiphany here, too. That's what we're looking for. Nancy Mace. This bill to deport illegal immigrants who commit sex crimes is pretty straightforward. Yet, Mary Gay Scanlon and her buddy, the Dean of Decency, and Summer Lee, probably the most radical person in Congress, all voted against that. Did I ever pay attention out there in places like Montgomery County to what Dean and Scanlon in her neck of the woods are doing? And over in New Jersey, our buddy who always is on the right side, according to the media, Andy Kim, he voted against it. Bobby Menendez did also. Pretty simple thing. The battle raging today now is the media trying to defend what New Jersey's doing, claiming that we're saying you don't have to read, be able to read, to be a teacher, write, or do math. That's not what I'm saying, but what I am saying is it's fraudulent what they're doing, and they're saying they're doing it to remove hurdles. When Phil Murphy and progressives in New Jersey, when did they ever want to remove regulations or hurdles? Too many hurdles to quickly hiring teachers because we don't have enough teachers and get them into the schools. So the argument is, well, you guys are making it up. Now Elon Musk is involved, that you don't have to be able to read. Well, you don't have to do a basic test of reading. Do I think any number of people that are teachers in Jersey couldn't pass this stuff? Yeah. I'd be willing to put the figure at 10 to 15% easily. Can't pass the writing, the reading, the math. Maybe all three or at least one of those three. I might go as high as a quarter that they can't pass one of them. Why in the world would you have to remove that? You give them a test, you mark it. And you move forward with the, it takes too long.
It's fascinating to me because you think about any other profession. You want to become an accountant, you got to pass an exam.
Exactly.
You want to become a real estate agent, you got to pass an exam. You want to become Dom Giordano's producer, you have to pass a physical exam. Like,
all
these things, though, like Praxis, when I was becoming a teacher, it was a big hurdle. You had to study for it. It was, and that was something that I was considering before I entered into radio, was teaching. And you know what? It's a roadblock that's deserved, though. Like, I, as a person studying for that exam, never thought to myself, well, this is BS that we got to do this exam. Mm-hmm. It's I understand that I have to meet these qualifications to prove that I am worthy of hosting children and teaching them in my classroom what they should know. It's nuts to me to remove this kind of thing from here, Dom.
And trying to use as the backdrop the idea that we need to get more teachers into the classroom. You guys, meaning me, conservatives, libertarians, are always against all these regulations. Suddenly, they don't want any regulation on this. How much more time would this take to do this? Now, they know the problem is these people can't read effectively, can't do math effectively, and certainly can't write effectively. Well, we've dumbed down the standards, and they still can't do it. I may have to look up some Praxis questions, Dan. You may have to pull up one here, too, just as, you know, a regular example of it. And if they can't do that, how can they be in the classroom? Because we want them to. because of DEI requirements, because of the NJEA exerting their power. So Elon Musk jumps in and goes after them on Twitter. If he does it two or three more times, there is going to be a groundswell. So now I'm seeing they're claiming that Fox News says that you don't have to be able to read to be a teacher in New Jersey. I would argue you don't have to be able to prove that you can read effectively to be a teacher in Jersey. There's no doubt about it. How do we know they can?
You want some questions?
Yeah, give us a question, Dan.
What is the moon's position relative to Earth during a lunar eclipse? A, the moon is behind the sun. B, the moon and sun are on opposite sides of the Earth. C, the moon is between the Earth and the sun. And D, the moon is at the zenith point.
Is there more information given there, though? What category is that in?
It's, I guess, science. Well, I don't know if there's a science
portion. Yeah, yeah. No, it's
that's
it's
from,
just,
yeah, science, yeah. The education science portion.
Okay, but you don't have to pass that, though. It's reading, writing, and math. And the writing, I think, might be the most problematic here. Do you happen to see a reading question? Maybe we would need a paragraph.
I have a math question.
Yeah.
Barber's Catering Company makes the best fruit salad despite using only four ingredients. They use four apples for every mango, two pears for every apple, and one pineapple for every mango. If they used eight pineapples in their most recent batch, how many total pieces of fruit did they use? 32, 64, 96, 112, or 144? I have no idea. I don't expect you to know either because you weren't writing it down, I don't think, but... I mean, these are the standard kind of word questions that you'd expect to give your students, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, particularly if they're math teachers and or elementary and they teach math. That question, the science question's a little bit trickier. I got to think a lot about that. But the writing sample part, I mean, how
you want a
long...
reading and language arts sample?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
An individual who speaks a language historically related to English may have an advantage in learning English as a second language because A... the affixes of the individual's first language will be similar to English. B, many words and roots are likely to have similar spellings and meanings. C, the individual may rely on knowledge of etymology. Or D, the cultures using the two languages will be very similar. Doesn't seem
I'd
like a reading question.
Go with B on that, or maybe all of the above.
Yeah. Maybe we should investigate whether these questions are DEI-based in themselves.
Well, that question right there is DEI-based. Notice the bias they're trying. Oh, yeah, well... you spoke English because your language was closer to it. This language is not close to it. So I don't know if the school districts then are testing teachers. In my experience, they're not. They're interviewing you. They're seeing where you taught before, what your degree was, and all that. I don't remember them ever testing you. So why was testing put in? Because of the substandard level of teachers. And as a result, they had a basic skills test, praxis.
The whole irony of this thing, too, is you have an exam here that's required, right? But
yes.
Then you are going to enforce to your kids that they have to spend, what, 30% of their time in the classroom studying for these types of exams?
Well, they would get rid of those, too. I would not. You know, there's some people on the right who would, too. We're not going to know what kids know unless you test them. So, you know, you want to say teaching to the test and all that. It's abysmal, we know that, but how abysmal? And teachers, you're not going to know what they can do unless you test them, but in fairness, they should know, they should have practice tests and things of that nature. But that question, what do they give as the correct answer?
I don't know, I didn't click through.
It seems like all of them, they would go for it. It seems to be loaded and it's biased. Every one of those things might be the correct answer.
I do have another more traditional reading question.
Okay.
Curious if you know the answer. What is the underlying message of a piece of literature? Is it a thematic statement, a subject, a theme, or a motif? The underlying message of a piece of literature.
Yeah. And the answers were theme?
Thematic statement, subject,
right.
Or motif.
I think it's thematic statement.
Close. It's theme. That's what it is. The correct answer.
And they... differentiate between theme and thematic statement.
Yeah, but I highlight this question because I think this is something important for teachers to know that, you know, they shouldn't be calling something the wrong name if it's a motif, but they're talking about a theme, or if it's a theme and they call it a motif, I mean.
Yeah, like a lot of those answers and those questions are probably partially right, but they're not entirely right. They're like SAT questions. Like you need the best answer.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they want to see from teachers. Like, can you come to that conclusion? Because if you can, then you can make sure your students can.
Well, really, in truth, the theme is not stated often in literature. That'd be the fallback. So it's understood through the context of it. They don't state this is the theme. So if that's what they're going with, yeah, then it is theme. Okay. Well, are these representative questions? The math one, for example, I think is a good representative. I think you ought to be able to know that, at least pass this test. If they want to say the test is too hard or off the mark and they want to reform it, okay. But as of now, though, you don't have to pass anything. As I understand it, they assume that you can read, write, and do math. All right, we'll get to your calls coming up at 855-839-1210. AT&T and Verizon Wireless, all you have to do is just push pound 1210.
The state of the vote for the President of the United States as delivered to the President of the Senate is as follows. The whole number of the electors appointed to vote for President of the United States is 538. Within that whole number, the majority is 270. The votes for President of the United States are as follows. Donald J. Trump of the state of Florida has received 312 votes. Kamala D. Harris. D. Harris of the state of California has received 226 votes.
Okay. All right, 855-839-1210. By the way, I saw a little factoid here. You guys can invite him on, Dan. This would be a shootout. And he's got all the information. He's the architect of this bill, apparently. Our buddy Jim Beach. I've always loved Jim Beach of the Camden County Beaches. You know, the board over in Camden County, he's the architect. Murphy signed the law. Murphy's not the architect. He's the architect of this. And Mediaite says he's saying, well, we got to get more teachers. So you've lowered the standards, Jim. No, we haven't. We've just done away with them. All right. You know what he's going to. Let's see. But come on. I don't know if he's come on before. There were a couple of shootouts though, of various things I remember over the years. And he's essentially saying, well, they already have enough ways to determine if you can read and do all these other things. What might they be and to what level? What level would you be comfortable with? Jim, why couldn't it be streamlined that, you know, this is something worthy that you guys on the Democrat side don't understand, that you got to move heaven and earth here then, give the tests, make the tests more available, get the mark quickly, and the ones that pass at school districts one can move on. How about that as a solution? Nah, we'd rather just say, you don't have to do this. We know that you can read and write and do things at the level that are appropriate. How do you know that? We know it. I'd be interested. I have to delve a little bit more into this rocket scientist role in doing this as a solution to get more teachers. To Dan's point, you know, if it's a cop, if it's a nuclear power plant guy, we need a few. You know, so what's an eye on? Come on, get out of here. So we'll see if he might come on. It's a national embarrassment. So what are they doing? They're striking back to say we're making it up about this. They are shortcutting. There is no doubt. As soon as I hear his name as the arc, Jim, call in the show. We'll put you right in there. 855-839-1210. We need to get some epiphanies today. Today, the Feast of the Epiphany. Give us something where the person or you saw something in a different way, all right? Something that struck you, a revelation, a change, real or fictional. There's a lot of really good fictional ones. Scott in Mount Laurel, he's in on Talk Radio 1210. Hello, Scott.
Hey, now the theme of my call will be a case for Eric Dickerson. But before I say that, I saw something on Twitter where Lane Johnson and Jordan Mailata were having a 40-yard catch.
Yes.
Now, 40 yards, that's an, you know, pick that exact number. It's almost like they were listening to the show.
And they were kind of rubbing it in, I think.
Yeah, that Philly Republican, one of my biggest supporters, said, Of course they should have told me to come down there. You know, and when I said to Lane Johnson, come on, Lane, you know you got to play for Saquon Barkley. If he had said he would play it, I think they would have done it.
Lane makes the throw, but you might have a better arm than Maiolata if you think you can throw it 40 yards because he doesn't quite reach it.
Oh, actually, let's get the big man over at Mulligan's and have him bench press a few people and then throw a football. I did see that, and it looked like 40,
Yeah, I know, which was bizarre. It was the exact number. I thought that was pretty funny. The number we've been talking about for
Giants quarterback, can Drew Locke throw a ball 40 yards? So I started to have doubts.
That's probably it was certainly not accurately.
Yeah.
But, you know, the thing with Dickerson is he was three – I know it's not a sports show, but he was three-time NFC Player of the Year. His quarterbacks were Jeff Kemp, Dieter Brock, and I think they started the season with, like, Steve Dills. I mean, then he gets traded to the Colts, where they were 3-13, and they go 9-6 the next year, strike short in year, and they win the division. This guy was – and his quarterback there was Jack Trudeau. So they're putting 10 in the box.
Did he resign from quarterback?
It's Jack Trudeau, and he ended up in the Canadian League,
Eric Dickerson was the greatest running back of my lifetime. I can't speak for Jim Brown. Didn't see him. But I think Ray gave him short shrift. He was unbelievable what he did in the NFL. He was absolutely incredible.
He turned Henry. It was the magic of Ray Didinger on that. I fell out on the island with him. What's your epiphany, Scott?
My epiphany is that I used to debate politics with my friends, and I'd follow when I was younger. And the conclusion at that time was, hey, you know, we all want what's great for America. We all want the same thing. We just go about it differently. The epiphany was when I realized that the people in power in the Democrat Party, they do not want the same things that we want. They do not want what's best for America. They want what's best for their own power and control. And that was a very sad epiphany, but an accurate one, I believe.
Thank you, Scott. Well, the difference with Bill Maher makes this point all the time. Liberals, one thing. Progressives, though, how much are they significant in the Democrat Party still? Very. That's a big difference. All right, the great Scott Presler is next. We'll get his meeting with John Fetterman. Fetterman told him he might want to become a Republican, and this is the guy to do it. And Jim Beach over in South Jersey. Essentially, Jim, you made national news by this proposal to say, we know you can read. 855-839-1210. You get on board.
Dom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.